Vendor past performance is a big factor in awarding federal contracts, or it should be. It's a smart practice, and in the Defense Department, it's also a requirement. And that's why the DoD Inspector General looked at 56 Army contracts awarded by five Army contracting shops to see whether the Army was consistent in evaluating past performance. Joining me with results, Michael Rourke, the Assistant Inspector General for Contract Management and Payments. Michael, good to have you back.
All right, thanks for having me.
Reading the report, it looks like something arcane about reporting and submitting reports and timeliness, but is it really about making sure that you're getting the most out of vendors?
Yes, it is a very important tool, not just in the Department of Defense, but across the entire government. Performance assessment is critical because it is our main way of assessing how a contractor performs on a contract. And so this information is valuable in future procurements. Source selection officials take this information into consideration as to how contractors did in the past. And so it is a critical piece of information that source selection officials need to know when they consider future procurements as to how someone did in the past.
So tell us what you looked at and what the methodology was.
So this is the third in a series of audits that we've done on contractor past performance. And in the past, we did the Navy and the Air Force. And so in this audit, being the third in the series, we focused on the Army. And we looked at five Army commands, the National Guard Bureau, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Engineering Support Center, Huntsville, Army Contracting Command, Aberdeen, Army Contracting Command, Redstone Arsenal, and Army Contracting Command, Warren. And so at those five contracting commands, we reviewed 56 PARs, or performance assessment reports, and the contracts that were associated with those PARs had a contract value of $1.5 billion.
So this is not small stuff we're talking about.
No, that's a significant amount of money, and obviously when you're talking about some of the contracts at those commands, those are critical services and support for the Army, both at the National Guard and Army Corps of Engineers and the active duty Army. And so those are pretty important contracts.
What happened on the past performance front in these awards?
So we found two primary problems with past performance at these five Army contracting commands. The first major challenge was that 21 of the 56 performance assessment reports were not prepared within the 120-day required timeline. The interesting thing about that was that the average number of days late was about 59 days after the 129-day period. The second problem that we found was that 52 of the 56 PARs had challenges. Specifically, some of the issues that we saw there were that they did not have sufficient written narratives in 44 cases to justify the ratings given. The ratings did not address all the required evaluation factors in 23 instances, and then in 15 cases, there were not sufficient descriptions of the contract purpose.
What we're talking about here is the performance of the contracts after they were awarded, the kind of follow-up monitoring, correct?
Correct. So the performance assessment reports are completed at the end of each year and at the end of the contract, and so a contract could have multiple assessment reports on it. It's very similar to a report card at the end of each academic year. It's pretty similar format to that. And so if they're not done on time and if they're not complete or if they are not descriptive, it limits the usefulness.
And just give us a quick idea of the types of contracts that were involved here.
Well, we use the term non-systems contracts to basically eliminate the acquisition of weapon systems because those are kind of a category unto themselves. And so we really looked at service contracts, IT contracts, operational support contracts, just so that we can get a flavor of the everyday critical contracts that we use in the Department of Defense, and in this case in the Army, to make sure that our forces are ready to carry out the missions they need to.
We're speaking with Michael Rourke, the Assistant Defense Inspector General for Contract Management and Payments. They were not filing these reports. Do you have an indication that they were doing the evaluations but not doing the paperwork? Or was possibly the evaluation and the monitoring of the contracts lax and therefore the reports didn't come in time?
It was a variety of factors. In 32 cases, we saw that there were no PARs to begin with. So in those cases, we had some interaction with the command. We tried to understand a little bit better as to why that occurred. And then during the audit, 11 instances occurred where they completed the PAR once they knew that we were carrying out the audit. So in the end, there was about 21 cases where there just was no PAR to begin with. If a PAR was created, then you run into some of the challenges that we discussed earlier, which is that they were late or that they did not have sufficient written descriptions to justify the rating. So there's really two different problems there.
And when these PARs, these reports are posted, presuming they're posted online somewhere, mm-hmm. are they available for other Army commands and other DOD commands to take a look at?
Yes, and that's one of the most important elements of the of past performance is that once the PARs are loaded into the CPAR system or the Contractor Performance Assessment Reporting System, that is kind of extracted into another database called the Past Performance Information Retrieval System, and then that enables not just Army officials or DOD officials, but everyone in the government to review those for source selection across the government, because you may have contractors competing for contracts outside of DOD, and so those source selection officials need access to that as well.
So in other words, information that could lead to a contract decision to avoid somebody really bad, or making sure that if past performance is part of the evaluation gets a good rating, would be absent. That data wouldn't be available to some other contracting official.
Yes, the whole purpose of the past performance system is to ensure that current, complete, and accurate information is provided to source selection officials in whatever department they're in.
And so what did the Army tell you about this? Did they agree with your recommendations that they need a better process here?
Yes, we made recommendations to each of the Army commands that we visited, and we primarily provided two recommendations, which is to improve training and improve awareness of the requirements for assessors so that they can ensure that the past performance ratings are done. And then the second thing that we recommended was that Army commands needed to improve procedures for both reviewing reports and ensuring that reports are completed. And the Army commands that we visited responded pretty proactively with recommended changes, and we're in the process right now of getting their feedback to the final report. And so we anticipate that over the next few weeks we'll receive their corrective actions. In the report, the commands responded favorably. However, they did leave out a few details, and so we're following up with them to kind of complete the record there and ensure that there's a plan moving forward.
In general, who is it that is supposed to actually look at contractor performance after award? Is it the contracting officer? Is it the program owner? Is it the contracting officer's representative?
All those officials have a significant role in evaluating past performance. On the contracting side, the contracting officer ultimately is responsible for ensuring that the past performance is evaluated, but also program officials, as the folks who are receiving the service or receiving the product, obviously have a very big role in determining whether or not cost and technical qualities and timeliness were met. And so they obviously play a very big role in assessing how well the contractor performed.
And do you think it's possible for the Army to maybe re-engineer the process to make it easier to gather the information and file it? And perhaps that would improve timeliness and completeness.
Yes, we recommended to the Army several procedural best practices that could be implemented to improve their procedures. And in the report, we identified a few instances where the Army actually came back and had some good practices that they were starting to put in place. For example, the 120-day requirement to complete a PAR after a reporting period or after a contract has ended, that requires some back and forth with the contractor, specifically about 60 days where the contractor has time to respond to whatever rating the government has prepared. And so contracting commands need to kind of work backwards through that 120-day period to ensure that in that first 45 days or so, they are preparing the reports and then providing the contractors with their 60 days that they need to respond so that it can all be completed within 120 days.
Michael Rorick is the Assistant Defense Inspector General for Contract Management and Payments. Thanks so much for joining me.
Okay, thank you.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.